Coaching Impact Radio, informative conversation by coaches for coaches with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Coaching Scenarios, asking the important question, what if? We are continuing our series of asking coaching experts, what happens when? The subject today is couples coaching, and Frankie and Terry welcome couples coach Susan Ortolano to the program.
At different scenarios and how a coach can bring insight and strategy and really their experience to bear to help coach that specific circumstance within their target market. And our conversation is going to be with Susan Ortolano. And Susan, we just love having you, but I want to hear what you have to bring around what you would consider some of your most frequent or most challenging scenarios. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, thank you, Terry. Well, basically, I think one of the most common scenarios that comes in with couples in crisis, and couples work has a big range. And so the first one I want to bring forward is what happens when you have a couple coming in with this perpetual conflict, and it's like no matter what they've tried to do on their own, they cannot seem to resolve it. And what happens is a couple might come in and say, and I'm going to make this really simple, let's just say they're Joe and Katie, and Katie's like, I keep asking Joe to do the dishes, and he just never does them. He says he will, but I come back, and it's like the dishes are still in the sink, and he's sitting on the couch watching TV or playing computer games. And I just get really, really frustrated, so I go over and I start yelling at him, and he yells at me, and then we just have an all-out conflict. So we can work with that on the surface, and we can really kind of look at, well, what could Joe do to make a bigger commitment, or what can Katie do to, make it a little more equal in terms of who's doing the chores. We can look at it on a surface issue, but that's not what it's really about. What's really going on here is below the surface. The trigger event is what I like to call it. The event that's going to trigger what's going on underneath is perhaps the dishes or whatever is on the surface or whatever they're going to come in and talk about or complain is going on for them. But the real answer on how I would coach a couple like that is to ask what it means to them. What does it make it mean that Joe's not doing the dishes? What does it bring forward for them that goes deeper? Is she angry? Is she running what I call a story that she's not feeling he thinks she's important? Does she feel disrespected or dismissed? It's always something that's living below the surface, so we really want to access that so that she can become aware. And once we can access that with her, we can run some techniques and use some great tools that we have in couples coaching to help her release and to help her process what's going on there. And then the fact that he doesn't do the dishes may not feel as bad for her. Now, on Joe's side, we want to know what is it that has him not be his word or do what he said he was going to do. That might look like a surface issue by saying, oh, I'm just really tired. I just didn't feel like it. I thought I'd get to it. But there may be something else going on inside, like an old belief he has, perhaps, and this has actually happened when I've been coaching, where he really believes women should be doing the dishes. And it was something that was taught to him so young because that was the family pattern that now in this relationship, even though they're modern people. He really somewhere inside of him believes that women should be doing these things. And so there's this subconscious, we'll say programming or story that's kind of stopping him from doing it. And he may or may not be aware. So we really want to kind of go underneath his presenting issue. Well, I forgot, or I didn't feel like it, and really get into what it's really about for him. Where conflict gets resolved is underneath the presenting issue. And then it's much easier when they've really been able to process or use some of the techniques I bring into coaching, when they've been able to clear that and have an understanding of what's really going on, then what's happening at a surface issue can get resolved. And so when you've got a conflict that seems to be cycling around and they just can't seem to resolve it, it generally isn't about what's happening on the surface. It's generally about what's going on underneath. And that's where we want to get to when we're working with the unresolved conflict.
So, Susan, I have a question.
Sure.
So what are some of the coaching questions that help get the client to the deeper issue?
Yes. Now, if I see somebody and she's complaining, oh, it's like I asked them to do, I'll just say, what is this really? You know, I'll definitely say, I really hear what you're saying, because as a coach, I want to make sure my client knows that I've heard them. So being heard is really important, whether they're speaking to each other or whether they're speaking to me, the coach. So I would say something like, I really hear that, you know, whatever she just said, just to know that she is heard. And then I would ask her, what is this really about for you? What's underneath that for you? And see what she comes up with. And she may say, well, what do you mean? And then I might explain to her, well, generally when we have, and this is a moment where the couples coaching becomes a little bit of what we call edu-coaching, because when it comes to couples work, we're teaching skills at the same time as we're doing the coaching. So I might explain to her that we all have these, you know, issues underneath and these limiting beliefs underneath, or these stories or things that we were programmed to believe that generally happened long before she met her husband. And so we want to get underneath, what does this mean for her? What does it make her feel? What comes up? What is the triggering feeling or belief that's coming forward when Joe doesn't do the dishes yet once again? And then she'll be able to access that through those questions. And then we really want to look at how strong that is for her. And sometimes I will, even though coaching is about moving forward, sometimes I'll want to know if they can remember the first time they ever felt that feeling or that story or that program, because it's currently interfering with their relationship. But I'm not going in to analyze it. Sometimes I just want them to recognize that it's not about that person that they're married to. It's been living inside of them for years and years and years and years, and it's just showing up this particular way.
You know, I think what you're saying there, Susan, is so valuable, because coaching is about forward momentum, but it's sort of like I say, you know, if you're jogging and your eyes are facing forward, that doesn't mean that it isn't valuable to occasionally glance over your shoulder and make sure.
Somebody might be chasing you behind, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have to keep your perspective of where you're at in relation to other things. And so that glance over the shoulder, but then a return to the forward focus, That's a very, very helpful kind of image, as well as you're describing, a very helpful technique.
Thank you. And it really being able to glance over the shoulder, because, again, it's like I explain to couples, imagine you're carrying this big suitcase, you know, that you've been carrying for years and years, and you've thrown this in it, thrown that in it, and we're talking about limiting beliefs and stories and programs. And it's so normal because you've been carrying it for so long that you may not even realize it's there. So we want to kind of unpack that a little bit and open it up, see what's in there that's interfering with the relationship now. And you really ultimately, you know, we hope people unpack even more, because it's the items that are sitting in there, or the limiting beliefs, stories, or programs, are going to really inform how they communicate with each other, how they feel when somebody says something. So looking over the shoulder and going, oh, my God, I have this big old suitcase that I'm, you know, strapped to my back, let me see what's in it, can be really, really powerful and really clip the conflict at the root rather than just at the surface.
Yeah. You know, I agree with what you said about edu-coaching. Because especially for niche coaching, mm-hmm. it really is a necessary part of the work that we do with clients. So do you find that most couples, once they've worked with you for a while and they kind of get the difference between the surface trigger event and what's really underneath, what the real issue is, that they're able to discern between, you know, the two of them? Are they able in the moment to get it?
Yeah, because it's like how I've educated them is to be able to ask themselves, okay, what am I making this mean about me? What am I making this mean about the relationship? What is this triggering for me underneath the dishes? So I work with them on being able to do this at home, you know, to ask themselves, gosh, what's the real trigger here? What's the real issue here for me? It's not about the dishes or that he didn't vacuum or that I couldn't find a parking space or, you know, that kind of thing. One of the big things that comes up is, you know, how people express love to each other. And it's like the gift he got me for Valentine's Day, yuck, you know what I mean? And it's like he must not know me at all. How could we be together for this long and he got me this? You know, and so the question is, well, what is that really about for me? You know, so I really work with them on asking themselves those questions so that they can recognize what's going on at the root where the real conflict is. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to work with the techniques we bring forward in couples coaching to be able to clear. So I hope that answers that for you.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, what is usually the best outcome? So when you do this with a couple, you're in this scenario, you use this coaching technique, what do you discover are really the outcomes?
You know, what's really a beautiful outcome is like, oh, I never knew you felt that way about yourself, or I never knew that's how it was for you. Like this opening of understanding, and that's why you said what you said the other day. No wonder. Oh, my God. You know, like there's this compassion, this understanding that it's not, you know, Joe's not being made wrong and Katie's not a bad person. You know, it's like there's really all this wound, you know, that's living inside, that big suitcase. And when they really open up to understand that, it really helps bring them closer together. They have a better shot at not having this conflict again because now they're really sensitive. Not that each one has to take responsibility for what goes on inside of the other, but they can be more compassionate and sensitive and not create a landmine for the other person to walk on. Also, what's a great outcome is to have a negotiation. So it's like, yes, now we understand, you know, the internal workings, but we still have this issue at the surface that we need to negotiate. So the win-win is what I like to call it, is where we find common ground. So if we're talking about the dishes, we have this amazing understanding. They get more connected and more intimate and more, you know, of a peek into the inner workings of the other person. And then we go back to the surface issue and say, okay, now that we have this understanding, what are we going to do about the dishes?
Exactly. Because they still got to get done.
And then they still got to get done. You know, even though it's like, oh, we're close and we love each other, but, you know, it's like we're reignited and all that great stuff, the dishes still have to get done. But now that can be approached in a way that can be negotiated to find better common ground because there's not that other layer of stuff underneath it.
Yeah, there's not the heat of the emotion that they previously had.
Exactly.
You know, what you said about opening up the communications has such a ripple effect because, I mean, obviously it changes the individual's perspective that it's not about you, it's about me.
Right.
So, you know, looking inward. And that, I think, can lead to an expression of undeclared expectations because so often we think our partner should just be a mind reader.
Absolutely.
Especially women think that.
Yes, I know. I hate to pick on women, but it's so true.
It's like, you should know what I'm thinking. And so that, there's a lot of residual resentment around that. And so just opening the communication, being more compassionate, understanding, you know, I can say what I'm expecting and what I want without kind of holding it in and repressing it. So it's a wonderful path that a coach can take a couple you know, true.
Most definitely. And a lot of, you know, like you said, women expect, you know, the man to just know. And the poor guy's sitting there going, well, you never told me, how am I supposed to know? And I always encourage, and I know women, you know, and this kind of leads into another scenario where, you know, women, you know, a lot of women love gifts. You know, they love to receive expressions of love from their partner. You know, men do too, but women particularly make holidays mean something in a way that a lot of men don't, you know. And so sometimes the conflict is about, I didn't get what I wanted for my birthday and it was a milestone birthday, or it's Valentine's Day and this, you know, and it's really, what they're really doing is they're making it mean that their partner doesn't love them enough, or gosh, he should really know what I wanted. Well, you didn't tell him. You know, so, you know, there are ways to open up the communication where, you know, a woman might say, well, then I'm not going to be surprised. You know, it's like, well, do you want what you want, or do you want a bad surprise? You know, and there are ways to be able to, you know, create, and I have an exercise I do with couples to create something where, here's my list of, you can never go wrong if you get any of these things for me, you know. And the surprise is, which one is he going to get me? I don't know, but I'm going to love any of them. So the guy can't lose. She's going to be happy, you know, and it takes all of that, you know, gosh, he should really know. It just takes all of that out. Now, if he has her list and then he blows it, well, then we got to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, there shouldn't really be a need to expect somebody to just mind read. And yeah, unfortunately, women are more prone to making the holidays and the birthdays and the, you know, the flowers and all that stuff mean something about how much they're loved.
Yeah. I think in summary, it's fair to say that there are many surface events that trigger behaviors.
Yeah.
And as a coach, you have to be careful that you don't get trapped by thinking that is the real issue.
Absolutely.
You need to understand that there is a bigger story for both partners.
For both partners, you know, yes. There's on. And one of the things I always share with coaches to be careful is not to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever you're thinking on the inside, keep it on the inside. But what you're doing with your work as a coach is to remain neutral, because it's not about you. It's not about your feelings, your judgments, your, oh my God, I'd never be married to that guy. It's about this particular couple and what's important to them, what's on their agenda, you know, and what's going on underneath for them. And that's just another thing that coaches need to really be conscious of, is not taking sides, not sharing their personal opinions, and really being client-centered when it comes to this, even if inside they're going, oh my God, you know.
We'll be right back with more from Frankie, Terry, and Susan in just a moment. Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Impact Coaching Academy offers life coach training and certification in over 20 specialty categories: life, business, couples, health and wellness, and more. Courses can be completed as self-paced study, live teleclasses, or in-person intensives. Just like our radio show, Impact Coaching Academy is by coaches for coaches, and you can join in for free. Sign up now for your free membership and receive over 20 hours of training and programming, yours to listen to and enjoy, absolutely free. Then chart your own path for growth with courses that are starting soon. Check the calendar to see the current offerings. Impact Coaching Academy. Check it out right after the program at impactcoachingacademy.com.
Awesome. So we are back with Susan with another little bit of wisdom around coaching couples and some of the scenarios that surface that are of concern and blocking so many couples from their happiness. So Susan, let's talk about the scenario you want to talk about and
yeah.
How you coach it.
You know, one of the scenarios, and this is more common when couples first come into coaching, is how they're communicating with each other. And generally, you know, communication skills are not taught in the public school systems, you know, so people go into their early adulthood and they don't have the skills to really communicate in the area of relationship. So some of the things that I hear when couples first come in, I kind of cringe on the inside because I know the better way to communicate. So one of the things that I like to do with couples is work on how they are speaking to one another, because just in the communication part, just expressing can actually trigger a cascade of anger, upset. It can inflame the whole situation, and then couples can kind of literally burst into flames with each other in some kind of conflict during a coaching session. So one of the things that I think is really, really common is a lot of people feel the need to be right. And I've seen this with couples so much. They're really trying so hard to prove their point and the rightness of it and make the other partner wrong. And so when I notice this, whatever we're working on, because this might not be why they've come to coaching, this may be kind of a byproduct or something else that is going on as they're trying to resolve a conflict. And if somebody's committed to being right and having their partner be wrong, we're not going to be resolving the conflict. So I will kind of step in as a coach and just say, you know, I'm noticing, you know, tell me if this is accurate. I'm noticing that you seem to want to prove your point or be right about what you're saying. Is that accurate? And I actually had somebody say, yes, I want to win, you know, and I said, well, what's the prize? And he's like, I don't know, I win. And I just said, think again, what's the prize for being right and making your partner wrong? You know, and she burst out, and this, you know, this is probably a little, you know, language here, but she says, well, he ain't getting any, you know, that's the prize.
Yeah.
The prize,
You win,
you know. So, you know, the prize is really going to be kind of like lack of intimacy, for especially for that evening. But, you know, so we work on languaging when it comes to communication, even in the coaching process, regardless of what we're working on. And the alternative to right and wrong, because I hear it all the time, well, he's right, he's wrong, I'm right, or she's wrong, I'm right, is I like to say accurate or inaccurate. And using those terms is a much calmer way to state whether somebody is, you know, factual. And then there's fact versus story or versus belief, you know. So if somebody says, you know, he's right, I'll say, you know, can we try using another word? Can we try using accurate? Is this accurate? Is she accurate? Or is he inaccurate? And it's a much kinder way of pointing something out to say, well, no, that's not quite accurate, you know. And when we do the what we call the reflecting back skill, where I ask somebody, can you tell me what your partner just said? Can you just really reflect back, meaning say exactly as they said it as best you can? And then I ask them to say, is that accurate? Rather than say, is that right? Right and wrong tend to have other meanings that go with them. Wrong tends to be paired with bad. Right tends to be paired with superior, and I like to take that out of the equation. So that's just one of the communication, I call them pitfalls, that I notice couples coming in with because they just don't know any different. So often, even if we're coaching on, you know, whether or not they're going to have children, you know, it's like if they're using certain languaging, then we need to address that, because whatever they are coming in to work on, that languaging, that communication needs to be in a place that's going to allow them to have more success.
You know, I think the terms right or wrong are very polarizing.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, a couple will never find common ground if they're using that type of language.
No.
And I like, you know, your use of accurate or inaccurate, because it really does lend lend that whole process to getting them to common ground. You
it
know, where
really
they can
does.
Agree, yes, that's accurate or that's inaccurate, and kind of work on it till we both agree that this is the accurate story, this or the fact.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people confuse their facts and their stories. So, you know, another one that is very common is the use of always and never. And, you know, I will make a little bit of a joke and say, were you keeping a Excel spreadsheet on that to be able to say this always happened? Generally not, you know. So when people say always and never, they're really exaggerating. So one of the things that I like to work on is to for them to be more accurate with the time and to refrain from using always and never. You always say this. Well, have you really been keeping track? I don't think so. So is there another way that you can say that frequently, often, a couple of times, you know, make that timing more accurate or never, you know, you never give me flowers. Well, remember that time back, you know, a couple of years ago I did. So that's not really a never, you know. So it, you know, always and never can be very inflammatory as well because people get really offended. Their stories, and they're going to feel insulted or disrespected. What do you mean I never gave you flowers? Yes, I've given you flowers. You know, there's another conflict. So we try to use different languaging to make what they're saying more accurate. You know, and it's just a common one that happens during conflict. And again, it's one of those things. A lot of the communication issues are things that you'll notice working with couples on something else. Because generally they don't come in to say, you know, he always tries to be right. Can we work on that? So a lot of the communication, sometimes people will come in and say, you know, our communication needs help. I don't know what, but it needs help. And that might be what they're coming into coaching for. And then we can work on some of the things that they generally say to each other and other ways that they can say it so they can find common ground. But these are just an example of some of the things that I see when I'm working with couples. And, you know, sadly, they've come out of my mouth as well. And, you know, it's like I had to learn myself, you know, as we all do, because, again, this is not what we're raised to how we're raised to speak to people until we learn. So that's why we go back to the edu-coaching that we were talking about last time. And it's important for when we're working with couples to teach the skills and not to make them wrong for using the language they're using, just to explain, you know, I understand where the languaging comes from, but I'm here to tell you, let's look at, you know, this is going to be more effective. Let's look at how we can language things so that your conflict can resolve and be really effective.
And that's the key. It is effective because, you know, once couples become aware that just by saying things slightly differently and they practice that awareness, you know, just being aware of what they're saying, being conscious of it, and then, you know, continuing to practice the application of the right language for their interaction, I mean, the results are just amazing. It's like, wow, I didn't know that, you know, just by using certain words or not using certain words, it has materially changed how we connect with each other.
Absolutely.
Which is quite amazing.
It is amazing. Hi, Carrie. And sometimes it's so simple.
Yeah.
You know.
Carrie, I thought you were going to ask a question. Sorry, I kind of spoke over you.
No, you're fine. No, well, you know, it's really interesting because we're talking, I mean, there's with this particular niche specialty, which I also have had some experience in, one of the things that I find is really interesting is kind of that shared aha moment. Like you can hear both of them kind of go, oh, and sometimes it's you know, hey, let's talk about the language, and the education piece is why language is so important, you know.
Yeah.
But then I'll ask a very similar question to what you're talking about, Susan, which is, how do you think it would change things if you both stopped using right and wrong and started using accurate and inaccurate?
Absolutely. And it's
and then just go quiet, right, and let them think about that.
Yeah, right, exactly, because they'll be like, wow, you know, it's like, you know, what if that big boulder wasn't in the middle of your living room kind of thing. And give them a moment to kind of, you know, chew on that a little bit and kind of go, wow, that would be really awesome.
Yeah. Such a big breakthrough. I mean, would you kind of summarize that as part of the ultimate outcomes of the scenarios you're talking about and the way that you're approaching it? What would be the ideal outcomes? And I guess my suspicion is that shared aha moment would probably be part of it, I guess.
It really is, because, again, you know, as I was saying, some people come in with another issue, and then I'm noticing the language as they're sharing their point of view. And we sort of interrupt this regular scheduled program to bring in another skill so that as they're trying to resolve something else, they get like a bonus. You know, sometimes the communication skill is a bonus and definitely a process of effective conflict resolution, because they're not going to be able to decide, oh, should we have kids or not, or whatever their issue is, if they're using poor language or ineffective language. So the outcome, yes, there's this beautiful aha moment, and again, a better path to common ground.
Yeah, thank you so much
for
that.
I think
this is a very valuable insight for any coach that's working with couples to really, really kind of add to your toolbox and considering.
Most definitely. And there's so many pitfalls that people fall into, and you know, I kind of take them as I notice them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they really are coming in to work on their communication skills, then we will go through the ones that they tend to use, and even I'll throw in some other ones and how they can say it differently, have them work on that, practice, and then the outcome is, wow, we really get a lot more done. You know, we really speak to each other. We're closer now. We're not as angry with each other. You know, and we just don't have as much conflict as we used to.
I think it's fair to say that this particular niche of couples coaching is fraught with a lot of dangers if the coach is not trained and well-equipped to work with couples. Is that a fair statement?
Very fair, and that's why the training, you know, is so critical. And when people kind of decide, oh, I want to be a coach and I want to work with couples, and they hang a shingle, but they don't really have the training, that can really cause problems because they really don't know what they're there to do. Sometimes they'll step over a coaching boundary into a modality or into territory that really isn't for coaches. You know, and try to fix things, or they may be giving too much advice because they don't have the training to know that this is more client-centered work versus other modalities. So the training is really, really critical, specifically in this area. We're dealing with people's relationships, which is one of the most important things in life.
Yeah, with families, children.
Families,
I mean,
yeah,
it's a big responsibility.
Absolutely, and I know one of the trainings that I recently did, we were working on these communication skills, and somebody in the training program says, I have 5 kids, I'm using all this, you know. She was so excited that, you know, because we were talking about that it's not just couples, you know, that, you know, it's all relationships, and she was so excited she had new tools to use with her kids, you know.
Yeah.
So it really is a gift that keeps on giving to have really good communication skills.
Great way to put it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Susan.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Come back next week for more exciting coaching conversation by coaches for coaches with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Experience ICA with over 30 hours of complimentary materials, then chart your own specific training plan at impactcoachingacademy.com. And of course, join us and access the growing archive of programs at coachingimpactradio.com. Join us next week, same time and place, as we continue the coaching conversation. I'm Vince Hayes. Bye-bye, everyone.